Hello, everyone. This is Tim Dodd. Welcome to the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast.
Thankful to give witness to tens of thousands, yes, and to the millions that believe it. And believes it now, I believe that God's going to let me live to pack it until all around the world it's been circulated.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast. Today, we have a special guest in the studio with us, all the way from the country of the Philippines, Brother Tim Dodd.
We're so glad to have Brother Nestor Espinola with us from the Philippines today. He ministered in the local church yesterday and Friday, and we had wonderful services, wonderful portion of the Word of God for our day. Welcome, Brother Nestor, to the podcast.
Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege for me to be here.
This is not your first time in Cloverdale, but it's your first time in 28 years in Cloverdale.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, it's been a long time, but we're so glad you finally came again.
Uh-huh.
And,
it's the grace of God.
And we're glad to have you in the studio for the Believer's Faith Challenge podcast. We try to focus on missions, but I think it'd be good to just start with a little bit of background, Brother Nestor. Of course, everybody knows you're from the Philippines, and you're probably one of, if not the eldest minister in the Philippines. But that's saying the fact that to be an elder in the Philippines is to be in your 60s.
Right.
So I didn't want to make you too old this morning.
Thank you, brother.
You pastor a church in Manila?
Yes, yes.
And what is the name? Do you have a name of your church?
Word Message Believer.
Message Believers.
Yeah.
Word Message Believers.
Yes.
Okay. And in Manila, there's about 50 to 60 churches in the city greater Manila.
Right. Metro Manila.
Metro Manila.
They call it Metro Manila.
And 50 to 60 churches still could be an hour or two apart from each other in Metro Manila.
Yes.
Even though in actual distance, it's not that far apart. But the streets of Manila is more like a parking lot than a street. And to travel in Manila is very difficult.
Yeah, terrible.
As we know when we've been there. So let's go back to the beginning. You came in the message in the 80s.
Yes.
And you were originally Catholic?
Yes. Philippines is a Catholic country.
Yeah, it's a very Catholic country. Mm-hmm. And then you heard, before you heard the message, you found yourself amongst Pentecostals.
Yes, yes. I went into a Pentecostal church. Yeah.
Right. And there you experienced very much what Pentecostals experience in. You know, they believe in signs and wonders and the supernatural and those kind of things more so than we would say the Catholics. Now, when you went amongst the Pentecostals, how were you baptized?
Yeah, I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, during the time they are telling me to be careful because some people are baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And they said it is a cult.
Okay.
But then, you know, I've been reading the scripture. I said, but I saw somebody in the Bible baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I was just new in the, as a new Christian.
Right.
I don't know where it is, but I said, I know it is in the Bible because I read it.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to look at it. Then I found it in the book of Acts, and it is Peter did it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, is Saint Peter is a cult? I really can't understand it.
Right.
See?
Right. So, so you heard these things, but then shortly after you heard about this message. How did you hear about the message?
Yeah, one minister's introduced himself to us, and he said, you know, I'm also a minister. I respect ministers, any ministers that come to me, so I try to listen from them.
Mm.
Because, you know, I believe God is using them. Mm-hmm. And I was already in the ministry during that time. Mm-hmm. And that minister told me about the 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
See, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. And then he said, you see, all of them are virgins, mm-hmm. meaning to say that they are all clean.
Mm-hmm.
But why is the 5, the foolish virgin did not make it, went into the wedding? See, and then he joined us. Then it so happened that my brother-in-law and the friend of my sister want to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
We still don't know about this message, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that brother is very, how do you say?
Careful.
Very careful, very smart. <you know? laughs>
Very shrewd, we would say.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. That's the right word.
Okay.
Then he said, I have a friend, they have a baptismal pool. So if you want, I can call them and prepare the pool, you know. And it so happened that is the Voice of God office.
Okay.
And they have the baptismal pool, you know. That's way back 1988.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So when we went there, after the baptism, the pastor of the church gave us 2 bundles of message books.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, so that brother is already telling me about something that, you know, like the 10 virgins. See, if I heard something that's in the Bible, mm-hmm. I always try to study it.
Right.
See, so yeah, how come that this 5 foolish virgins did not make it?
Mm.
And he said that 5 foolish virgins is saved. I said, saved. Mm-hmm. See, because they are virgins.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried to look at the other scripture. Then I found out that there is one scripture also about the fathers inviting everybody to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what, we know the story. Mm-hmm. And finally, everybody's inside the wedding.
Right.
And that man is already inside that wedding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the father come out,
mm-hmm.
see, he look at that visitor. He said, he called that man friend.
Mm-hmm.
He called that man friend, you know. Where did you come from? Mm-hmm. Why don't you have the wedding garment?
Right, right.
And he was already inside the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And they still throw him mm-hmm. out. Mm-hmm. So it's a big question for me.
Right.
See? So then when I got hold of the message book, see?
This is before you were baptized?
Yeah, before I got baptized.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So the one that was baptized is my brother-in-law and the friend of my sister.
Right.
See? So he baptized them.
Okay.
So I know they got the right baptism.
Right.
I'm not concerned about, you know, during that time, the Trinitarian baptism or the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not too much concerned about that. Okay. I just want them to be baptized.
Right.
But then finally, you know, I never been in the ministry. Before I got into the ministry, I'm just a faithful listener.
Okay.
I just go to the church religiously.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went into the ministry, I just want people to be saved. I went out on the mission field.
Mm-hmm.
The first day of my ministry, I already in the mission field. Mm. See? So meaning to say, I have no background.
Right, right.
See?
So you begin to see these things in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not being taught amongst the Pentecostals.
Mm-hmm.
So this is new to you.
Yes.
And now you got these books.
Yes.
And you begin to study it.
Yes.
So when did the message become real to you that God sent a message and, of course, with that is God sent a prophet?
Mm-hmm. Yes. See, I have a lot of books.
Uh-huh.
Because I never been trained by any Bible school.
Right.
So I train myself.
Sure.
See? Then I read all the books, I can say.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the bookstore, the Bible bookstore. They all saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I have no more books to read.
Mm.
Then I just look at my shelf. I have 3 books that I have never read yet.
Okay.
And that is the message book. The okay. first title is the Why Cry? Speak. Mm-hmm. Because I'm crying already. I said, Lord, then I don't know where I am going to get the food to feed my people.
Right.
See? Then the next thing is when their eyes were open.
Okay.
And then the next thing is the voice of the sign.
Mm.
You know, when I got hold of that book, I thought it is only a same book.
Okay. Yeah.
But then I realized it's different because the cover is all the same.
Right.
But there is a title.
Yeah.
When I read that book, I said, who is this man, you know?
Mm.
See? And same me, I don't know grammars.
Right, right. So then it didn't stumble you the way Brother Branham spoke.
No. I understand him clearly,
yeah,
brother.
Exactly.
See? Because we are in the same boat, you know?
Yeah.
See? And I said, this man is saying the right thing.
Uh-huh.
You know? But I don't know who he is. But I know he is different.
Mm-hmm.
I read the book of Gordon Lindsay, Jimmy Swaggart, Watchman Nee. I read a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
See, and this guy, I don't know him. But he is saying what the other people not saying it.
Right.
I said, this is right.
Yeah.
Who is this man? And why did our church did not teach us this thing?
Yeah.
The right thing. The woman should not cut their hair. The woman should not preach. And everything is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water baptism. I said, this is the right baptism.
That's the amazing thing about the message, isn't it? When you finally come in contact with it, it was with me, is that it's obviously the truth, but why haven't I heard it before?
Right.
You know, why isn't anybody else teaching this?
Right.
Yeah.
See, that is one big question to me, you know.
Yeah.
Why they are not teaching this?
Mm-hmm.
Who is this man? And I don't know him.
Right.
Actually, then one day, the brother invited me to a minister's meeting. You know, they're discussing about an agenda. And then this one is saying, you know, the prophet said. See? I said, who are they mm-hmm. pointing to? Who is that prophet? Who is that prophet?
Mm.
Then one minister said, the prophet said, Brother Branham. I said, yeah. I know he is a prophet.
Okay.
See? Because he's different.
Right.
I'm not lifting up the man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the way he exposed the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. It is the truth. And yet, I mean, it's so simple. It's the truth. But they do not tell it to the people. See?
Yeah.
That's the start.
Yeah, that was the beginning of the message. What year was that?
Way back 1989.
89.
88, yeah, last quarter of 88 going to 89. 89 where I met the ministers, you know.
Okay. Now, like all of us, the revelation is progressive.
Yes.
And God begins to reveal line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Now, I'm going to jump forward. And what year did Brother Biscoe go to the Philippines?
1995.
Mm-hmm. Was that your first acquaintance with Brother Biscoe?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning on Sunday that it had a great impact on the country.
Yes, definitely.
Why don't you just repeat that and tell the people why it had a great impact on the country?
Yeah. Before we just see the scripture, at ease, you know. See, God loves us. God bless us.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have this message.
Mm-hmm.
We have the messenger. Then you need to live a holy life. And this. See? But I know there's a lot of things in the Bible that we cannot understand.
Sure.
And then We have these books of the seven church ages. We read all that books. And then we have the, we read that the seven seals. Mm-hmm. See? When you read it, I can understand it. You know, I went to college. That's why I can understand it. Mm-hmm. But I know there's something lacking, you know, because we can see that the seventh seal is open. Because
you cannot see that the seventh seal is open.
Yeah, because it has something to do with the coming.
Okay.
See? So you need to be very careful.
Right. Right.
And but then when Brother Biscal come into the Philippines, then like I told you, he preached differently. He shared the message differently. Mm-hmm. See? He said when God created His family, He's creating a family of God. Mm-hmm. See? So when God created Adam, Adam is the God of the earth. Mm-hmm. See? Because as a Catholic, you cannot say that.
Right.
That you are God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the brothers, you know, mm-hmm. He's been telling it to us. See? And then he illustrates the power that is in Adam. See? Every time God speaks this spoken word, and it will create something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Satan saw it, the creative word of God.
Right.
And he tried to get hold of it. Mm-hmm. But it just went past through to his hand. Then he saw Adam. Adam was sitting there, you know, looking at the water, see? Then when he heard the Father speak the word, Satan tried to grab it. It passed through to his passed through his hand. And then here, Adam looked at it, you know. See? He looked at the word and he caught it. Then he put it in the water. It became fish. When we heard that, my goodness, what kind of message is that?
So the reality of the creative power of the word,
yeah,
was just becoming real to you then as Brother Biscoe was preaching.
Yes.
My amazing.
He said that the Adam can speak to the wind.
Uh-huh.
And he can tell to the trees. See, if the tree is covering that mountain, he can tell to the tree, move over, and the tree will move. I said, yeah, that is in the scripture.
Yeah.
So as to the mountain.
As these things are becoming real to you, how did that change your attitude towards the message? Mm. Because I know, and as we were talking previously, and I've had the conversation with Brother Biscoe, that he quickly wondered, how many messages have these people had? You know, what do they have for the message? What do they have for books, or especially the tapes? Mm-hmm. And to hear the voice of the prophet. And that became a real burden with Brother Biscoe for the Philippines, mm-hmm. and especially for the ministry.
Right.
And so it must have, you know, you hearing these things, and I wasn't there, but so I'm just imagining this now, and you can fill me in on it, that it almost would have to, if it was me, it would now renew me, as you said, you like to go back to the Bible, you like to go back to the message and study it now, mm-hmm. and it must have created a new hunger for mm-hmm. the message of the hour.
Right.
That there's things in there mm-hmm. that you haven't really caught yet.
Right. And right, right.
And so how important was it, as Brother Biscoe's burden was, to begin to supply seed libraries to the Philippines? Mm. How important was that?
It's very important. Now we can go through, see, we can listen, and then when you do the printing, then we can study more.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. And I still remember that, you know, when I heard that about the family of God, then that's, you know, the way we do our homework in back back then in the Philippines. That's why in the Philippines we have a doctrine, if you don't drink coffee, you cannot be a pastor. During those times, we have no laptops, we have no computer.
Okay.
We are the old school. Right. You need to read the books.
Yeah.
Then every time you prepare the message, you need to go all through the books that you have.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Now, how many books would you have had at that time? How many titles would you have had?
Maybe it's very few, brother.
Yeah.
Maybe the most is 20 or 30.
Yeah, so you've got the Church Ages, the Seals, and maybe another dozen titles or something?
Yeah, yeah, that's all.
Oh, that is so sad, Brother Nestor.
It's very sad, you know, honestly. Yeah, so, but like I told you this morning, I prepare one message, you know, that I tell it to the church. The battle begins in heaven. What's happening on earth is a reflection of from heaven.
Right.
And then after that, the battle went into the earth.
Right.
See, Satan bring the battle on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, if Michael will go against him again, then Satan will just say to the Lord, you know, I can overcome Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay. And said, I'll fight with, I'll go against you. Then he said, you're God. How can I fight against you? Say, okay. Then here's my son, Adam. Mm. Okay, that's a fair fight. Say, I shared that to the church. Then I said, now the battle is not physically.
Right.
See? You know, we are fighting against the spirit, the prince of the world. See, you know, I forgot that. I'm not
spiritual good in wickedness in high places.
Yes, yeah. So meaning to say, we are fighting spiritually. Everything is in our mind.
Right.
And I have not read that message, the greatest battle ever fought.
Right.
See, that's where I know that God is, though we don't have the book yet,
mm-hmm.
See, that God is inspiring us already.
Right.
With the same message, with the same spirit, like what Brother Branham got.
Yeah.
The message only vindicate what we are preaching to the people,
mm-hmm.
because what we are preaching to the people is our own inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But this one is not just only an inspiration, but thus saith the Lord.
Yeah.
See? Now my inspiration is vindicated by the thus saith the Lord. Then it become established.
Exactly. And I think that's the key, or that is a very important point, in that if a man is truly led of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he, the Spirit of truth, will lead you into all truth. And so if you've got the right anointing in this hour, it will lead you to the message of the hour.
Amen.
It cannot lead you anywhere else.
Right.
And that's a very key principle that I think is very important. And so, of course, to be able to get a hold of the message then, to study it.
Mm.
And as we talked earlier, even to have the message on computer was a key step for you brothers and all of that. And so that began to take place. The Bible Believers Library or office became established there. Brother Vernon became the manager.
Right.
And they began to put out tapes and books. They did printing.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that became a work that was established for many, many years there, right up until about 2010, I'm thinking, in that area. Do I have that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's a long time, yeah.
Now you, I'll take a step back. So that was Brother Biscoe's introduction there, and as you said, it revolutionized the message in the country.
Right.
And it drove people into the message.
Yes.
People that believed the message, as we say in quote, air quotes, or, you know, they believed the message, but they didn't know what the message was.
Right.
And so I'll put this out to you. Is a key point is, the people have to have the message. That's very important.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to have inspired ministry to push them into the realities that lay within the message.
Right.
It was Brother Biscoe's preaching that inspired you brothers to dig deeper.
That's true.
Amen.
Yeah. So after that meeting, you know, You know the place where he make that they held that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in a cinema. The name of that cinema is Paramount.
Amen. Yeah.
Then, it is where, you know, he also break that the word beginning.
Right.
He said that is a Ross. The beginning is the summit.
I said, it's a okay. Summit, yeah, Paramount. That's yeah. Right. That's right.
See, maybe he don't know that place named Paramount.
Mm.
See, so after that incident, so like I say, the Bible became a new Bible, brother.
Amen.
See, we look it different way now.
Right.
So we saw that the seals is open, the seventh seal is open.
Mm-hmm.
Then now we realize who we are.
Right.
Unless the seal is open to you, yeah. You will not understand who you are.
Exactly.
Then we start preaching. You know, like mm-hmm. I told you, I start writing that message, say 9 o'clock. See, I can write the message only because I have a lot of children. See, I need them to sleep first. So I will start writing 9 or 10 o'clock.
Sure.
Then up to 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Because during that time, everything is, you need to do it manually, not mm-hmm. like today, automatic. You know?
Yeah.
So it's very hard. See, and it's so funny that it's 2 o'clock. I still can remember it. See, he says, God become lonely, see, and God wants to have a family. Then he created Adam. And I heard Brother Biscal, you know, God is creating his family. I said, yeah. Meaning to say, God is creating a family of God, see. Mm-hmm. Then he said, Brother Biscal said, if the dog give birth, then you call it puppy.
Mm-hmm.
But when the dog grow, you call it dog.
Right.
See? So same thing with the horse. You call it pony. But when it grow, it become horse. See? Then I said, yeah. See? So when God created Adam, he's creating a God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm a God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
And that is 2 o'clock in the morning. I keep on laughing, you know. I keep on laughing. I said, my goodness. And then there's the scripture, right?
Yeah.
He said, you call those prophets.
The word of God.
To whom the word of God come. Yeah. You call them God.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. That's us.
Amen.
That's me.
Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
See? And then, like what you said, is keep on progressing.
Right.
Yeah.
That is the great thing about this message, of course, is you talked about yesterday when you're speaking, we've come to the adoption time.
Mm.
Come to the time of the fullness
yes.
of redemption.
You're right.
That the bride needs to see what she is.
Yes.
Not just who she is, but what she
what
is.
What she is, yeah.
And that is the maturity, I believe, that God Amen. Is looking for. Now, how many churches in the Philippines altogether?
Now, I think around 500.
500 churches,
small and big, yeah.
About 50 to 60 in Manila. And number of believers, estimate-wise?
Yeah, today, I can say, you know, maybe we are around in Mindanao, 2000, let's say maybe 10 to 15,000.
10 to 15,000 believers in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So that's really from the 70s that the message originally went into the Philippines.
Yes.
And now it's grown to about 10 to 15,000 believers. That's wonderful. We praise God for that. I want to share something with the people, and you can help me share this, because our first acquaintance really, I was here in 96 when you were here at the minister's meetings, but we didn't really know each other. But when I came to Cloverdale, and took up the mission work for Brother Biscal. One of the first things that happened was the typhoon in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And that was a great destruction. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned it yesterday during the service, but I just want to bring up a testimony that is hard to share because it was kind of behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, you mentioned that I think about 250 homes were rebuilt.
Right.
And how many churches?
25
churches. Mm. And it was a great destruction, the storm surge, the typhoon. It was a super typhoon and
a lot of damage.
And also destroyed crops and things like that. So the people who lived on their crops needed to be fed.
Right.
Now, when, and this comes to when I saw you then in, I think, 2012 or 2013 in the eastern United States at the meetings there. And we were just visiting, and I had a burden on my heart because something happened with this work that this effort that we made to raise funds for the Philippines to help you in this time. And what happened was we had raised more funds than the needs, and I've never seen that happen. I've never in my life seen that happen where we had an extra $50,000. And so it was to me, I didn't understand it. And so I think it was 2013 that we saw each other in maybe Brother Joe Green's meetings.
Right.
And we were together for a short time. And I was asking you how things were going as everybody recovered, how things are happening there. And you said that there was a massive crop failure.
Right.
Because a worm or a bug or something had gotten into the crops after the typhoon and had eaten all the crops.
Mm-hmm.
So that with the crops that we had helped amongst other churches, but we had helped to replant, became destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And you were, if I remember, you were very broken about it.
Yes.
And I said, but you've never shared this. And your words to me was, I don't know if you remember, was the people have given so much. How can I ask for more? And you were quite broken up about it.
Right.
And I pressed you. I said, how much do you need? How much would it take to feed these people until the next crop?
Mm-hmm.
And you gave me that number. And you didn't know what I knew. And you just said it would take $50,000. And I can't share that with the people. And I said, Brother Nestor, we already have the $50,000. And that was such a phenomenal thing that God had already provided for what he knew was going to happen.
Amen.
And that was just so supernatural.
Amen.
I never experienced it, and we were so happy to see the hand of God. And I know you were happy.
right, definitely.
Yeah. And so that was a hard time for the Philippines and a hard time for the believers.
Yeah. Like they say, you know, if we will only help one another, the burden will be lightened.
Yeah. Amen. And so through that now, over the years, the churches have grown. Brother Tom, Brother Murphy were just in the Philippines last year, and we had a podcast with them. Shared that testimony and the stories of them being with you there. And the needs in the Philippines are still there as far as any poor country. As Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. You'll never get away from needs in a poor country. But the work is going on, and it's not just now you brothers who have grown and matured in the Word, as you said, the Word became open to you more in the 90s. Now you've grown and matured in your ministry, and God has been able to use you in other places, in Southeast Asia.
Right.
Places like Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam and those countries. Tell us how the work is going over there.
Yeah. Now, before, we don't have message church in Cambodia. We don't have message church in Laos. In Laos is a very strict communist country. But then we start one brother in Cambodia, Brother Paul. We call it Lee Tong Hua, Brother Paul. See, so when he accepted this message, God used him there. And we started in Phnom Penh. Then we went to another place. Then we built a church. See, now we have 4 message church building in Phnom Penh.
Okay.
Then the most supernatural thing that happened, that we built a church in Laos.
Wonderful.
And not only one, mm-hmm. but five.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? And one of the hardest thing there, because the Leo's brother, a lot of them, I can say all of them, you know, they cannot speak English. Mm-hmm. If they can speak English, maybe something like 60%. Mm. So they cannot translate the message.
Right.
But like I say, it's supernatural. Brother Paul in Cambodia, his family, their home province is the boundary of Cambodia and Laos.
Okay.
Meaning to say, those people in his place, they can speak Lao.
Mm. Wonderful.
And he can speak Lao also.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul is an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very fluent in English.
Very good.
And he's also a pastor of the in the message, so he knows the message lingo. Mm-hmm. So now, so what he did now, so he read the message books in English, then he translate it orally, you know, in Laos.
Okay, yeah.
See? So then once he finished it, he will send that audio
mm-hmm.
to the believer in Laos, and right. then the young people there will encode it.
Okay.
See, now I can say not perfect, okay? There's mm-hmm. no such thing as perfect translation.
Exactly.
I can say 90%
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah.
See, now we have a message book now in Laos and also in Burma.
Right.
Then, in Cambodia.
Cambodia, yeah.
Yeah. So also in Vietnam, you right. know, now we have one ministers in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
He's also in the boundary of Vietnam and Cambodia.
Okay.
See? Lord
so
willing.
The Lord's really using Brother Paul and Cambodia
yeah.
to spread the message into some of these communist countries and very much controlled countries.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's yeah. wonderful. These messages, many of them, are uploaded to the Message Hub,
and yes.
we're glad to see that, so that they can be printed anywhere. Mm. They could even print them within the country, download and print within the countries. You mentioned Myanmar. Have you been to Myanmar?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And how yeah. are the believers doing in Myanmar?
It's good until the civil war, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Then we lost contact. Not lost contact, you know.
Mm.
It is not like before. You can call them easily.
Right.
But today, just keep them in prayer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. No, I have been burdened for them. We worked with a brother there who passed away in the translations and supported that work. And they have many translations in Myanmar. But the brother passed away, but the translations are still there. His yeah. work is done, and they can carry it forward. But I know the civil war has disrupted them very much.
Yeah.
And, that's wonderful, Brother Nestor, and it's wonderful to see how God is using you, brothers. You know, you mentioned that translation is not perfect. We use the word, translation is an art, not a science.
Amen. Amen.
And that, you know, even Brother Murphy, in all of his years of experience in translation, you know, he still says, you know, we still have to go back and make corrections. We have to make changes. As you learn better ways to interpret what Brother yeah. Branham is saying into yeah. the local language,
yeah.
then it's easier. And I was just reading a translation the other day, and I say reading a translation. I was uploading an Indian language translation. I don't know the language, but I was using Google Translate to help me to place it on the Message Hub and line it up with the English. And I saw that they had interpreted something in a very interesting way. Let's just put it that way. And so there's always need for a little bit further editing and proofreading of any message.
Amen.
In any language.
Yeah.
And we are thankful. But, you know, even the English, and I always tell people this, the English language is not perfect either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the text in the English, but every year, even on the site of VGR, there's corrections that are made to the English. Because to take it from the audio tape and put it into print that is not perfect. And there's always a better audio tape, maybe a blank spot has been found or something. And so that even the English is still being corrected.
Amen.
So we're not so proud in English to say that we have the perfect message. What we have is the perfect interpretation of Amen. The word with divine vindication.
Right.
We have that. Amen. And we're thankful for that. So, amen. Well, we're thankful for the translators. We're thankful for the work that has been done, the printing work that has been done. You know, a lot of the labors of Bible believers has been in the past, and now we see a bride growing into maturity in Amen. The Philippines. Mm-hmm. And we praise God for that. Praise God for men like you, Brother Nestor, who have labored over the years, and you say, come to your twilight years, or, you know, you say that you haven't got much time left. You've reached your life expectancy.
Amen.
But I don't know. God has a lot of grace, and maybe the Lord will allow you to be there to continue to add stability to the bride of Jesus Christ Amen. In the Philippines. We appreciate you. We're so thankful that you could be with us, Brother Nestor, and thank you for sharing these testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome. And also, I thank you, Lord God. It's really a great, great honor for me to be here and a great privilege
Amen.
To share something just to encourage and to, you know, the people. Yeah, thank
Amen.
You.
Amen. Sometimes in a interview like this, we'll end the interview and then we'll realize, oh, we could have talked about this, or oh, we could have talked about that, or oh, there was this testimony, or oh, there was that. So to the listener, we just say, you've just heard just the very tip of the iceberg of what's happening in the Philippines. You know, every life, every individual is a part of the fabric of God's great wedding garment, we could say, and what God's doing around the world in all the different places. Philippines is a part of it. Every individual's a part of it. Every soul that comes in is a part of it. We have an infinite God that is in control of every minute detail. So even when things seem difficult, he's still watching over it.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Nestor, for being with us. God bless you.
God bless you too.
Well, this concludes today's podcast. I trust this was a blessing to you and you enjoyed it just as much as we did here in the studio. Until next time, shalom.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. Remember, friends, the bridegroom will not come until the bride has made herself ready. She must be both called and fully dressed by the Word of God.
This was another episode of the Believer's Faith Challenge Report podcast. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to hear more about what the Lord is doing around the world, please go to www.bibleway.org. That's www.bibleway.org, and subscribe to the newsletter to receive updates about what the Lord is doing. Additionally, if you desire to contact us, please email us at info@bible-believers.org. Once more, that's info@bible-believers.org. Or you can also write to us, and our mailing address is Bible Believers, P.O. Box 128, Blaine, Washington, 98231. Until next time, shalom.